embryologist. There had been a vicious chill in the air when I left the house this morning. It had crept into my bones like a reptilian assassin, a cruel wind with a forked tongue. As a result, I anticipated my start to the morning, two black coffees with three sugars more than usual. The first would thaw the body, and the second would thaw the brain. I drank them swiftly without blinking, and then at exactly 4:27 a.m, I went into the laboratory. Every morning starts this way. My father used to tell me that routine is the solid ground on which discovery may be built. Real progress, he would say, never occurred by chance. On occasion, I would wonder at this theory as to how well he'd thought it through. I was his only son, born Albert David Thornhill from an unplanned pregnancy with a woman he settled on through convenience. Dr. Eric Thornhill, esteemed pioneer of embryology, had created me on the turn of the spring equinox in 1977. It would have been a day stretched to its optimum. It should have been a blessing. 12 full hours of sun would have fallen upon my father's world before he lay down with Dr. Amy Ford, my mother. Once inside the laboratory, the only light is a halogen one. Rows of bulbs sear an unforgiving white light onto the workstations and racks of sterilized test tubes. Along the right side surface, space is reserved for embryo manipulation. Inverted microscopes stand rigidly like soldiers in a perfect line, their micro-manipulator controls protruding like those of a video game. Along the left side surface, an array of chrome and plastic equipment reflects and bounces the harsh light like a hoard of modern-day treasure designed specifically to aid and abet the progress of human life. Incubators, isometers, and fiberglass reservoirs jostle for validity with X-ray machines, isotemp freezers, and canisters of liquid nitrogen. On the shelf below the work surface, the true sword and shield of any lab doctor can be found, the syringe and petri dish. Packet upon packet sits neatly in preparation for the day ahead. I always felt truly at ease when alone in the laboratory. No one would come in here before 7 a.m, and I could get the majority of my work done without distraction from people or the raging worlds they brought with them. No radio, television, car horns, intrusive gossip or telephones. Throughout an average day, the doctors would come and go. Edwards, Kalisvelsky, Norton and Fujiwara would stay only the length of time it would take to dart in, store their consignment of embryos, and log the correlating data into the EDAC system. It didn't matter to me that they said nothing. They were just white coat ghosts. I could have walked right through them without a ripple in the ether occurring. At the far end of the laboratory, the door to the embryo freezer store can be found. It stands tall and silver, like a suit of armor guarding the unborn masses. I had entered my PIN code into the Digilock keypad at 5:35 a.m. to unlock the freezer store door and begin my withdrawal of the embryos I would be working with this morning. The withdrawal usually takes 10 to 15 minutes, so it is standard procedure to close the door behind you to maintain an even temperature. After selecting a batch of liquid nitrogen tanks containing embryo cylinders, I made my way to the freezer door and nudged the electronic release button. As the human body cools, various signs and symptoms will arise. Shivering is a form of muscular exercise, and it is the body's feeble attempt to generate heat. As the muscles cool down, they become stiffer, and coordination deteriorates. Brain function slows, and intellectual tasks become more difficult. I had stared into the faint glow of the release button light for a good 2 minutes before I leant over to push the emergency alarm. I think in that 2 minutes of stunned realization, I'd already known it wouldn't bring me a savior. Instead of forcing the door, I had turned my back against it and slid down to my knees. I then wondered what my father would make of chance now. I shuddered another man's laugh into the vacant atmosphere and felt the prickle of the cold air send a shiver down my spine. The time is now 5:17 a.m. and I can feel myself dissolving into the depths of unconsciousness. It is a matter of time before I stop shivering and the cold accelerates into every zone of my body. I know that when this occurs, vital processes such as my heartbeat and breathing will trail off, and my brain activity will cease.
Hey, Describe the touch. Do you know it's the thought? It's warm and yellow and has a ruffle. It's warm and yellow.
As the fog descends in my mind, I look up into the racks of embryos and wonder which ones will be born to feel the sun on their skin on the morning of a spring equinox.